Agenda item number 14, report and possible discussion on medical benefits plan for Brazos River Authority employees by Monica Wheelis, Human Resources Manager.
This has been one of the most trying things, other than some trying to get water, trying to get a handle on how do you fairly compensate your employees with health benefits. What share of the burden do they have? The changes in the laws, whether it be the Obamacare, whether it be the Internal Revenue and how much they tax you for the benefit, doctor shortages, and all those things. We've had hours, very heated discussion. And then there's a difference in it, how it affects Monica versus how it affects me versus how it affects a guy that makes $7.50 an hour. I mean, I can stand a copay of $30, $40. They can't. If I have to meet my minimum or my maximum requirement first before I get any benefits, and it's $6,000 or $12,000, that's tough. There are options that you can go high deductible, but whenever you see the demographics of where we are with our present clientele, and the other thing is that we have a limited number of people, and that makes us makes it even more difficult. So Monica has had her hands full, and she's going to tell you kind of where we are.
That was nice, thank you. Yeah. I told him to be nice when he went up there. As Phil said, this is a report only, and we're going to discuss our medical plan. I'm going to brief the board on a little bit of our plan history and then where we are today. I'm not going to go into specific medical conditions of employees or their dependents for privacy reasons, but I will give you a fairly good overview of the plan itself. So we have a partially self-insured PPO plan currently, and we are reinsured for expenses from an individual that exceeds $80,000 in a given plan year. And our plan year runs January through December, so it's a calendar year. And TML is our plan administrator and has been since, I believe, 2001 or 2002. At that time, the VRA has maintained a fund balance of over $1 million for every year since 2004, and it continued to grow up until the year 2010. We had very good claim history during this period of time, and in fact, in 2009, we actually decreased the premiums for the employer and employees by 10%. The beginning fund balance in FY10 was $2.5 million, and we had about 252 employees at that time that were on our plan. And as typical for most plans, you have good years and you have bad years. And we went through about seven consecutive very good years of health. Unfortunately, that ended. And over the last 4 years, we've seen a spike in our medical claims, and we've had several catastrophic illnesses. We've realized a significant increase in our stop-loss premiums due to the additional risk on their insurance coverage. We've also seen, as expected, an administrative fees increase and our network utilization fees. Those are the fees we pay to belong to a network to receive discounts on medical procedures. And at the same time, the Affordable Care Act kicked in. So now we're mandated to provide additional benefits, remove plan maximums, and pay mandated employer fees to the federal government. The most substantial impact, I think, of all of these at this time is the fact that they've removed our lifetime maximums. And as soon as that happened, we saw an increase in our stop-loss premiums even before we hit any catastrophic illnesses. So that was an immediate effect to our stop-loss. We also have an additional concern that hadn't kicked in yet, but we're anticipating if we have another year like this year, the plan might certainly have some additional costs down the road. There's a tax called the Cadillac tax, and it's based on the plan expenses. And right now, our plan expenses are very high. They take in consideration all the expenses that the employers and employer pay on a particular plan. And so right now, we're looking at this plan year. If we had to pay this Cadillac tax, it would be extremely expensive. And it's not necessarily based on the what you offer your employees, it's what you pay for your plan. So since we're self-insured, every dollar we pay out, that's an expense to the plan. So they take these in consideration. So luckily they pushed this back from 2013 to 2018. And who knows what, you know, could happen. My vote is it goes away before then.
When you say they, are you referring to the underwriter?
It's the Affordable Care Act.
Or the government.
The government.
Obama.
The Cadillac tax is part of the Affordable Care Act.
Tax,
it's a tax.
Could you explain the graph a little bit? Because I don't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I understand.
See, they put this little thing in my hand now, and I'm trying to coordinate. So let me go back here.
Okay.
Back to the perfect storm, and then I'll get there. Sorry.
Okay.
Wait a second. You got a question, please?
So you're saying the tax is, because we're self-insured for that first part, they're charging us on those dollars we pay for the...
It's even on fully funded plans, that plan expenses, the way part of the way they're going to fund the network of providers out in the U.S.
Right,
is
right.
By coming to the individual plans.
Right.
So they're gonna, yes, they're going
to... asking the tax. You're saying the tax is, the definition of expense is not just the premium the employer and the employee pays. If
that's
you're
correct.
Self-insured and you have a bad year, your expenses are going to look...
That's correct.
And you're going to get taxed on that?
Yes. Yes, and that's part of the fear is it's a little bit harder to control those years.
Yeah.
And you don't know when you're going to have one of those really bad years. And in theory, our premium should pay for all expenses of the plan, so you should be able to use our premiums. Unfortunately, our premiums today are not paying for our expenses of the plan due to the catastrophic illnesses we've experienced. And that's part of the reason I'm here today, giving you this great news.
Got a question.
Who has a question? Question?
Well, I was going to, the 10% discount that we gave when we were real flush on a reserve, did we undo that?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, we did.
Yes,
you
sir.
I'm
sorry?
It's all gone.
It's gone. Yes, ma'am. It's gone.
Yeah.
When I say we've had some catastrophic illnesses, we have had some catastrophic illnesses. Mm-hmm. And typically what you would see in our plan, our size, you may see one or two. And we've seen eight, maybe. It's significant hit we've taken the last few years.
Monica, what is that percent of tax?
On the Cadillac tax?
Right.
40%. It's 40% over the amount that they have, a certain amount that they say an individual, the plan could be for an individual, and a certain amount for a family expense.
So it ranges then.
Yes, and I don't recall what the exact numbers are, but it is 40% of every dollar above that. So when we looked at it, and I just took a cursory look, the information isn't very good out there right now for calculation. And I calculated everybody as an individual, not as a family, just to kind of see where we'd be. And it was about just under $250,000. Now, that is a high estimate, I believe, from what we would owe, because we have a bunch of families. But I just was playing around with it to see what it looks like, and it looks really bad. The last thing I wanted to mention on here is we have fewer employees to spread the cost over. We have about 11% fewer employees than we did in the good old days. So we're trying to spread more cost across a smaller base of employees.
And they're older, too.
Did you have to mention that?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. The average age for our organization is 50. And the average tenure is about 10 years. So.
What's yours? It's up to about 39 now.
39. It's 50 is kind of old for an average age. So that is definitely part of our issue.
Don't sound old to me.
All right, here's this chart. TML provided us with this chart, and it says year-to-date, but it's actually through August. And it's depicting really the number of participants we have on the plan and how much they spent from the period of January through August. And it's hard to read the numbers, but about 80% of the participants have spent less than $5,000 for the year. And then the remaining 20% have spent the rest. And that's very typical for most plans that you'll see a very small minority spending the majority of your funds. Any other questions?
Yeah. Well, without mentioning individuals, is there some?
We have a bunch of cancers.
Cancers.
You have those like that broken out, but your stop loss is 80, I thought.
Yes. Oh, good point. Thank you very much. TML did not subtract off our stop loss reimbursement, so the cap on all of these would be $80,000. The point is, we spend the money first, and then we work at stop loss at getting our reimbursements back. So if you back this up, it is only $80,000 on the maximum. Eventually, we'll get that money back.
I mean, I realize
that. Yes, thank you for
that. You can go 160 if you get sick in December and you incur 80, and then 80 in January. Annual loss.
So you're saying
a calendar.
So when the Cadillac tax kicks in, where? We need to get reimbursed quicker so we can use that money to pay it so it doesn't count as expense.
Yes. We'll take those in consideration. We'll subtract any reimbursements we get back off the plan expenses. Here are some of the changes that we did in prior years. This thing is right here in the middle. We've increased the employer and employee premiums. And this is over the last 2 and 3 years that we've done this, when we started seeing our claim history go the other way. We've shifted costs to the employees by increasing co-pays, deductibles, and out-of-pocket maximums, and we've been doing that a little bit each year. We've added a telemedicine benefit, which is if you have a sinus infection or poison ivy, you could call up this doctor's service and let them know what your symptoms are, and they may, you know, send out a prescription for you or recommend an over-the-counter rather than going to a doctor's office initially. And this is really nice on the weekends and at night versus going to emergency care center. We moved to provider networks with greater discounts and also did that same thing with our prescription networks. We moved to a stronger prescription network to try to contain our prescription costs. And we utilize the medical fund to supplement the premiums collected. So we have that $2.5 million fund. So as we're making changes to the plan, we're also, you know, infusing the plan with the fund of $2.5 million to help offset the additional premiums. So that's kind of what we've been doing in front of with the employees, and also trying to do some things behind the scenes to slow things down. TML has projected that we'll have about a 40% increase in our stop loss premiums, which that's significant. And I tend to agree with them. They're probably correct. We'll probably also see some of our employees be lasered from the plan. At least for a portion of it, to where now our employees have an $80,000 stop loss, maybe they'll be lasered for $250,000. So
that
it'll be
laser.
Your
laser.
Yes. So the laser means they won't pay those claims up until they get to the $250,000. So they kind of segregate them and say, well, we'll give you this rate, and all of your employees except these particular employees will have an $80,000 stop loss. All of the employees we know have issues, we're going to give them a higher premium that you have to, a higher deductible that you have to meet before we start paying you back. It's possible they may just exclude someone altogether. So that's not good news. stop loss, or TML is predicting a 10% increase in claims costs and an 8% increase in prescription costs, and they're doing that because they always do that. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. I tend to think this was our worst year ever, and, you know, God help us if we have a year worse than this by 10%. But even if we have the same, exact same experience as this year, we're still in crisis. As usual, the Affordable Care Act continues to, and, you know, their fees keep coming. And we will be increasing the premiums for both the employer and the employees. We did do a 35% increase to the employer, and that was included in our budget. So in July, when John was saying that we had increased costs, and part of it is for our benefits, it was for our medical plan.
35% to BRA, but how much to employees? Also 35%?
We haven't come up with a definite yet. Okay. I'm proposing 20, which is significant.
That's huge.
It's huge. I believe last year it was 10%. And so we're looking at perhaps another 20.
Can you put that in dollars?
As far as the...
What's an average employee paying? Are we paying half that? And what's this going to cost us?
In 2014, our current rates, the employer's paying $491.34. That's gone up now with the new budget year to $663. That's with the 35% increase.
Per month?
Per month.
Per month.
Yes.
Employee only?
That for employee only.
Wow.
And
For what to 661?
663 is our current rate for employee only. And that is not covering it.
Do all employees participate in that?
All employees currently participate in the plan, because if we don't charge anything to the employees or we give them a free option, then we can mandate they participate. And our stop loss, the stop loss carriers give us a break if we have mandate all employees participate, because that means our healthy people are also participating.
How does a $12 per hour employee pay six?
So that's what the employer is paying on. Currently, the employees are paying nothing for their benefit. Now we're proposing that changes this year.
I see. And so that, like, okay, I don't want to get ahead of you, but a $12 employee, for example, this year, if we institute that, say that 20%, that would be, what would that amount to per month for that?
If we're looking at an employee who has their family on, it would be a $100 increase per month. 20% is fairly significant. If we look at, if we add the additional amount, say we charge $50 for the employees towards the employee-only plan, we're looking at, for someone with a family, $158 more a month.
So we're paying about 70 to 80% of the total.
Of the total with the plan, the employees are paying for their dependents. The employer pays 20% of the dependent costs, and the employees pay the delta of that.
Okay.
So we looked at what other entities were doing. The Evergreen study did provide some insight. They said that the BRA is fairly equitable currently with what we're doing. Most other entities offer more than one plan option for their employees, and most of them pay a whole lot more in their dependent premiums. I think the average was about 70% on the dependents for their premiums. We pay 20%. When I say premiums, again, the employer is really paying a lot more than what we're seeing in that 663, because they're making up the difference in the claims and the other expenses of the plan that we're not bringing in, the revenue we're not bringing in. The employer is really paying more money because it's making up the difference at this time.
What is Monica, what's a family premium?
Currently, currently a family premium, the total premium with the employer pitching in is $1,179 a month. The employee pays $543 of that. And then that includes the employee-only portion, too. And actually, it'd be a little bit more than that because I'm looking at the 2014 rates. So you add another $100 onto that, so it's more like $1,200 to $1,300 for the total.
Yeah.
That premium sounds reasonably, the employee-only premium is the one that sounds extremely high. Are we getting, and we're getting all the benefit of being a part of the Texas Municipal League?
We are not in, we're a self-funded plan. They do have a pool plan, or actually they have about 8 pool plans in their groupings, and so we're not a part of that. They administer our claims, but we're not receiving the benefits of their 70,000 lives.
Yeah,
it's quite large. Yeah, we're not receiving that benefit right now. So, I do believe that TML's been encouraging us to write our premiums. The employee-only premium is heavier, especially since the employee base generally is healthier than your dependent base. But to shift that, it's difficult to shift it because you're shifting then the burden over to the employees. So, although the claims may be heavier on the dependent side, and that may make more sense, you still have to understand on the other side of that is that employee's making the $12, $14 an hour or whatever. So we're trying to make the shift, but we're trying to turn it slowly. Otherwise, I'm afraid we're going to lose employees over it.
But we also have numerous employees that have double coverage, too.
Correct.
Which makes life very difficult for them.
Correct. And if they're on the BRA plan, the BRA plan is their primary insurance. So if they have a secondary coverage, then the BRA plan still is their primary coverage. And that works pretty much at any employer.
Gal, if you work and there's a spouse, if that person works, they got to take their plan. Dowel insurance is secondary.
And that is one of the things that we've talked about. We're seeing a lot of plans eliminate spouse coverage if the spouse has a job and could get it somewhere else. They don't allow that person to be on at all. There's a bunch of shifting, cost shifting, and different things that we're seeing, that trends that companies are attempting to do to reduce the cost of their plans. And part of it is because of the Cadillac tax. Everyone's scrambling and trying to figure out how do we reduce the expense of our plan.
Do we have a broker? Do we have a broker that's working for us on this?
TML helps us with it. Yes, TML is bringing, yes.
Mm-hmm. But our plan was devised under different circumstances. I mean, is there a way to take a fresh look at everything now that the ACA has come into effect?
Yes, and that's what we're doing.
Okay.
Taking a look on what's the better way. One of the options is to go fully funded, which for a plan our size and with the ACA looming over here, that may not be a bad idea. Experiencing your worst plan year ever is not the time you go looking for someone else to take your risk. So it's definitely something as we become healthier and we start shifting that, you know, because the insurance, they go up and down, good and bad years. I think when we head to the good years, we go out and we shop a fully funded plan. I think that's definitely the route we need to take to protect ourselves in the future. It would be, TML provided us some options this year and to kind of give us a flavor of what a fully funded plan would look. They didn't invite us to jump onto all of their plans because they said we're too risky right now. So they gave us, here's some plans we'll let you, you know, we would consider you jumping into, and they were very, very, very expensive because we're right now a very expensive group.
How do you determine what your covered benefits are going to be?
As far as
so many new medical procedures that are coming down the line are mm-hmm. excluded from some basic plans, because they're exceedingly expensive. I know at the state of Colorado, there's a big lobby there to bring on an HIV drug as a covered benefit. It's $1,000 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody takes it.
I believe we do have those types of, I don't know that particular medication, but we do have some medications that they're called specialty drugs is what how we refer to them, and they are on our plan, and as long as they're not deemed experimental, then they're covered.
How about things like bone marrow transplant?
Transplants are covered. Everything's covered if it's not experimental.
I guess it depends on how you define that.
And TML is, I will tell you, TML is very, very conservative. If you've ever met Susan Smith, who's the executive director of Texas Municipal League, she is very conservative in her thinking and has been to Washington. She's, you know, I think she has a second house there now with the Affordable Health Care Act. And we follow her guidelines fairly well. There are things that, you know, we've had to go back and forth with TML on where we felt something should have been covered and they said we don't think it should be covered, and we've gone back and forth and then had to make a decision, do we believe that should be covered or not? And one case, TML actually changed their policies because of what we did on our policy. So I think that they're more removed. It's easier for them to step back and say you shouldn't cover this than it is to, you know, understand and see and know that participant or know that child that needs that medication and say, yeah, we're not going to cover that. So it's really a delicate balancing act on what we do. TML is conservative, so I rely on them a lot of times to provide us fairly good direction on what we cover and don't cover. As you can see, when we went out and we asked what others were doing, Evergreen said, hey, you know, most people, you're kind of sort of doing the same thing with the exception of, you know, most places offer multiple plan options. They pay a little bit more. So we then went out. They didn't give us a structure. It wasn't enough information. So we went out to other river authorities and customer cities and said, okay, tell us about the structure of your plan. And they were all over the board. As you can see, they're split between some are fully funded, some are self-funded. If they were fully funded, they wanted to go to self-funded. If they're self-funded, they want to go to fully funded. Many are offering multiple plans, as we heard before. Most of them do pay the full cost of their employees' premiums, and most pay a portion of the dependent premiums. Some offer high deductible health plans. Some offer health savings account or health reimbursement accounts, and those are good for those people who are over age 65 can participate in those. And the deductibles and co-pays were all over the wall. So really, we couldn't kind of get a trend. Are we doing what others are doing? Because everyone's doing something different and everyone's battling basically with what we are. How are you going to be able to cut your plan expenses? So as we consider where we're going from here, we know we're going to have premium increases. That's inevitable. The employer already kicked in September. And so we know we're going to go that route. One of the things that we have to consider as we're making these plan design changes or choices is how do we make a plan change that's not going to so hurt the employees that they're no longer going to be able to work here or they won't be able to adequately insure their families. And so we're balancing that along with, you know, all of the other pressures that we currently have on our plan. Some of the considerations, we're working with TML and they provided us with a couple options. Like I said, they gave us, you know, a glance into a fully funded option this year. But they also gave us some additional structures. They said, if you keep your current PPO plan the way it is, we need to substantially increase deductibles and co-pays and the out-of-pocket maximums. It's looking more and more like a high-deductible plan without the benefits of a high-deductible plan. But we have to somehow show that we're going to get to the bottom line. They're saying the plan's going to cost this amount of money. We have to show how we're going to get to that amount of money. And so that was one of our options. Another option was, well, if you keep your current PPO plan and you do moderate modifications, you just slightly increase your co-pays and deductibles and out-of-pockets and your premiums, and then you offer a high-deductible health plan to that. Now, normally when you offer a high-deductible health plan, the premiums are quite a bit lower than they would be on a traditional plan, because the plan won't pay any benefits until you hit the deductible. And we're looking at right now $2,600 minimum deductible. So zero, no prescriptions, no medical, nothing is paid with the exception of wellness benefits until that employee hits that $2,600. So typically you would see that premium go down quite a bit on that plan. Our proposal is we're increasing all of the premiums for the other plan. We're going to keep the premiums on the high deductible plan flat. So the employee who goes into the high deductible plan walks in there with no increases to their dependent premiums, and they will not be paid or will not have to pay for the employee only premium. So, and also we would offer an HSA. Right now we're looking at, and nothing's set in stone yet. I think we have another meeting set tomorrow afternoon to like Phil said, it's been contentious. And talking it through, but one of the options, if we were to go to that, then maybe $100 go into their health savings account. And the health savings account, that will can collect money. So if the employee does have to go to the doctor, they have, you know, the health savings account that they could use to pay for those expenses. So, and I'm not quite sure if you understand the health high deductible plans. Yes, sir.
Just in terms of your strategy, you spoke about this current year being a year of unusual expense, but your basic circumstance is that you have an employee grouping that's, as you said, older than average. That's going to directly affect increasing expenses, but also you have an 11% smaller employee base, which is going to increase the cost per employee. So your basic demographics here in your system that you're trying to manage is just going to get more and more expensive as you go forward. So the strategy really has to be aimed at containing those expenses rather than expanding the benefits or taking more of the cost onto the employer. It's just, you're in a bad situation here financially speaking.
Yes, sir. Carrie.
Do we also offer a medical, a flex premium account?
Yes, we do. If we offer a high deductible health plan, then those employees couldn't participate in the flexible spending account, but they could contribute to their HSA. And I believe the cap for next year is $3,300 between the employer and what the employee can put in. If you're over age 65, you can't contribute to an HSA. The employer can, but the employee can't. So we would offer an HRA, and employees can contribute to that. And that would work similar to the FSA. If you're in a high deductible plan, though, you cannot have an FSA.
But what you're considering, what you're saying to us is that you're going to have option A, option B. So your employee can make that decision for themselves and their family. They can either choose kind of the what we've offered in the past, or they can choose the high deductible. Is that
That's
correct?
What we're considering. We could either continue with the one PPO plan, or we can go with a dual option plan where employees have a choice. If the employees have a choice and we have a zero amount cost for the employee in the high deductible plan, then we can continue to mandate all employees participate. If we only have one plan, or if we charge in both plans for the employee to participate, then we no longer can mandate that they are on our plan, and we could possibly lose some healthy folks onto other plans, you know, if their spouse has a plan that's less expensive or whatever. So our thought is we keep a zero option available for the employees, just so we could have that, the at least continue with our current base of employees that we have now. And like I said, I think going to a fully funded plan is definitely an option that we need to consider when we get a little bit healthier. But the the dependent rate for family was nearly double, I believe, on, I mean, almost all the rates were double. The employee only wasn't quite double, but on all of the dependent rates, they were nearly double on the fully funded plan because of the health of our plan at this time. So we would certainly want to wait to look at that. So at this time, we're still contemplating what we're going to do for next year. We have pretty good information from TML at this point on how much the plans that we've designed will cost, how much we need to collect. I think we're pretty close to getting to, at least this year, funding, figuring out how we can fund it. TML never subtracts out reimbursements we've received from the stop loss. So we do when we're figuring our money, and currently we've received back about $650,000, and we anticipate a little bit more coming back this year. And then, you know, we'll just hope for better medical conditions. Some of the medical conditions, I will say, the majority of those that have hit stop loss are not ongoing conditions. They're conditions that, you know, we have a lot of cancers, and, you know, cancer, unlike heart disease, is, you know, once you eradicate it, you've eradicated, you know, you hope, anyway. So we're hoping that our claim history next year will be a little bit better than it is this year. Are there any other questions?
Thank you.